And now it's time for Highlights from Christian History with Michael Goins. It has been said that a people that forgets its history loses its identity. And without a doubt, contemporary confusion about what it means to be a Christian, and even a Baptist, may be directly traced to the idea that the past is irrelevant to the modern world. In such a climate, intent on deconstructing history, we are more convinced than ever that an understanding of our rich history is of paramount importance. So we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Highlights from Christian History. Here's Brother Goins with today's segment.
Today on Highlights from Christian History, our subject is the Baptists in America. We're looking at AD 1700 to the present. Religious persecution arising from political tensions in Europe compelled numerous Baptists to flee to America. In 1638, Dr. John Clark, a physician, and 11 other persons formed the first Baptist church in America at Newport, Rhode Island. Unlike Roger Williams, who is often credited with the founding of the first Baptist church, Clark was not in the midst of a theological journey, but was a strong proponent of the covenant of grace. In his book, Welsh Succession of Primitive Baptists, Faith and Practice, Elder Mike Ivey makes a convincing case for the fact that Newport Church was primitive Baptist in its faith and practice. Clark claimed that there is no preparation necessary to obtain Christ, nothing can be done by man, there is nothing that he can do to bring down salvation from heaven to earth, for what has to be done has already been done and done by God, not by man. Elder Obadiah Holmes succeeded Clark as pastor of Newport Church in 1651. Holmes was also committed to proclaiming the doctrines of sovereign grace. The following are a few of his doctrinal sentiments, taken from the Last Will and Testament of Obadiah Holmes. Concerning election, I believe that God has laid the iniquity of all his elect and called ones upon Christ. Concerning eternal security, I believe that all those that are in his covenant of grace shall never fall away or perish, but shall have life in the Prince of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning regeneration, I believe that no man can come to the Son, but they that are drawn by the Father to him, and they that come he will in no wise cast away. I believe none has power to choose salvation or to believe in Christ, for life is the gift only of God. Elder Obadiah Holmes taught that the gospel begets souls to the truth and feeds the church, but avoids any intimation that the gospel is instrumental in the new birth. His statements demonstrate a clear understanding of both eternal salvation and gospel deliverance. The accounts of persecution endured by elders Clark and Holmes are discussed at length on pages 80 to 85 of Elder Mike Ivey's book. In 1701, Welsh Tract Church was constituted in Newark, Delaware. It has the distinction of being the first official primitive or old-school Baptist church in America. It was one of five constituent churches that eventually formed the Philadelphia Association in 1707. That Welsh Tract Church was primitive in its theology is clearly evinced in its 1716 Principles of Faith, in which they affirm their conviction for believers' baptism, the doctrine of election, and the final perseverance of the saints. Elder Lee Hanks stated in the early 1900s, "Old Welsh Tract Church, which was constituted more than 200 years ago, is still in existence, coming down to us from Wales without change. This Welsh Tract Church is a hardshell church." On April 23, 1715, Hopewell Church was constituted with 12 members in Hopewell, New Jersey. It was organized on the following eight fundamental principles. 1. The three oneness of God. 2. His self-existence and sovereignty. 3. The total depravity of the natural man. 4. The eternal, personal, unconditional election of all the members of the body of Christ. 5. the specialty and definiteness of the atonement. 6. The necessity of a spiritual birth in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. 7. The sovereign and efficacious operation of divine grace upon all the vessels of mercy. 8. The baptism of believers by immersion. Historian J.H. Grimes states that this church has never varied from these principles for over 200 years. Few churches have done more in the formation of our denominational life in America. Elder Lee Hanks makes the following editorial comment concerning Wells Tract and Hopewell churches. Those two churches referred to above were organized true old Baptist churches about 100 years before modern missions entered America. They and many more old Baptist churches in America are older than the Mission Baptists. The regular and separate Baptists. To make sense of Baptist history in America, it is important to understand the difference between the separates and the regulars. The regular Baptists had a strong presence on the eastern seaboard, primarily in coastal North Carolina, the Tidewater region of Virginia, and further north. They were strongly creedal and emphasized the importance of a ministry trained with a classical education. The Philadelphia and Kahookie associations were dominated by the regulars. The separate Baptists thrived primarily in the South under the ministry of Elders Schubel Stearns and Daniel Marshall. Elder Sylvester Hassel writes of them in his history. These separates first arose in New England and made their way eventually into the states of Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. The Sandy Creek Association of North Carolina and the Virginia Separate Baptist Association, which eventually gave rise to the Albemarle, Middle District, Roanoke, and Mountain Associations, as well as others, were affiliated with the separates. The separate Baptists spread westward into Kentucky under the ministry of Squire Boone in 1779 and Mississippi. In 1742, the regular Baptists of the Philadelphia Association adopted the 1689 London Confession of Faith and renamed it the Philadelphia Confession. The separates, however, were very skeptical of confessional statements. When the Catoctin Association, affiliated with the regulars, sent messengers to the Sandy Creek Association in both 1763 and 1769, the separates graciously resisted the overture because the Catoctin was identified with the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. Robert Semple notes, a more serious and real objection was that the Philadelphia Confession, some parts of which they considered objectionable, might come to bind them too much. Elder Mike Ivey, in his book, comments, the separates rejected the authority of uninspired creeds and believed the regulars placed too much emphasis upon the London Confession, allowing it to assume the same weight of authority as inspired scripture. In 1777, however, four separate Baptist churches and six regular Baptist churches united in the Reformed Kahookie Association, and in 1784, the newly constituted Georgia Association included both separate and regular Baptists. Neither the newly constituted Georgia nor the Reformed Kahookie Association, however, adopted the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, but their own confessional statements that closely resemble a typical primitive Baptist church's articles of faith, both in content and style. For the most part, the regulars were more formal and liturgical, while the separates more simple and experiential. No doubt there were some among the regulars who valued a simple and heartfelt religion, and some among the separates who had no scruples with the creedalism of the regulars. The primary distinction between the two groups, however, centered on this subject of creeds and confessions. John Sparks, a United Baptist minister in eastern Kentucky, traces virtually every modern-day brand of Baptist in Appalachia to Elder Schubel Stearns and the separate Baptists. He is probably correct that primitives, free wills, uniteds, old regulars, and missionaries among Appalachian Baptists each have some kind of tie, at least culturally speaking, to the separate Baptists. It is also true, however, that a number of Baptist denominations outside of the Appalachian subculture were spawned by the variety of emphases among the regular Baptists. In my opinion, modern-day primitive Baptists seem to be a blend of the substantive theology of the regulars, though maintaining the separates' suspicion of creedalism, and the heartfelt experience of the separates, while maintaining the regulars' suspicion of emotionalism. I think primitives today have the best of both worlds. The effort to unify the regulars and the separates, however, would be short-lived. Fullerism had invaded Baptist ranks in England and would soon spread to the Baptists in America. By 1792, doctrinal fissures of no small significance would begin to form in the landscape of American Baptists, opening a chasm of theological difference in 1832 that would be irreparable.
Thank you for joining us today for this brief snapshot from the past. Please join us again soon for another episode of Highlights from Christian History.